So a few years ago, I spent some time hiking in the North Cascades with my brother-in-law. We were doing a series of day hikes, and one evening after a long day on the trail, we're driving to the campground where we were planning on spending the night. And that day on the trail had taken a little longer than we planned, so it was later than we had anticipated as we're heading towards the campsite, and it's starting to get dark. And just to make it even more fun, it's also pouring rain. Neither of us really wanted to set up the tent in the dark and the rain, so let's just say we were going a little quickly towards our destination. And as we're racing down this mountain road, we all of a sudden come to a crossroads that we didn't expect. Now which way do we go? I said, no problem. I've got my phone. Let me get directions. Oh, no signal in the mountains. Now which way do we go? When we find ourselves at a crossroads, unsure about which path to follow, where or who do we turn to for advice? How do we know which path is going to lead us to our desired destination? And it's an important question because in life, when we find ourselves standing at a crossroads, there's often much more at stake than getting a tent up before dark or finding shelter from the rain. We may find ourselves at a crossroads because of a change in our life stage. Maybe we're starting school or we're leaving school. Maybe we're getting married, starting our family or expanding our family. Maybe we're beginning a new job. Maybe we're moving. Maybe we're getting ready to retire. We could also find ourselves at a crossroads because of an unexpected trial, a job loss, an injury or a serious illness, an accident, a financial crisis or legal issues, or the death of a loved one. We may find ourselves at a crossroads without any major change happening at all. We may just find ourselves at a point of reflection in our lives where we stop and assess and decide that it's time to make some significant changes to stop the drift that is taking us further away from God. We can find ourselves at personal crossroads, and we can find ourselves at organizational crossroads, whether it's an unexpected leadership change, the need for a new strategic direction, or a host of other crossroads issues. All of these and more are what I would call crossroad moments. Moments when we must consider our past, consider our future, and make a decision about what path we're going to choose to follow. So when we find ourselves standing at the crossroads, who or where do we turn to for advice? Well, in the Bible, there's a man named Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet of God. He was a messenger who was sent to the leaders and the people of Israel at a time when they found themselves standing at a crossroads. And Jeremiah arrives on the scene in Jerusalem during the reign of Josiah, who was a boy king that attempted to reform the practices in the culture of the nation, to draw them back towards God. And Josiah's reforms worked for a while, but ultimately the nation ended up straying again. And this is where Jeremiah enters the picture. And Jeremiah comes with a framework for answering their crossroads question. Jeremiah is sort of like a really good consultant or a good counselor. He doesn't show up with the answer for the nation, but he shows up with a way to help them find out what the right answer is. The people of Israel, they were at a crossroads. They had wandered far, far away from God. And Jeremiah was sent to call them to come back. And they had a decision to make. Would they turn back towards God, or would they continue down their path towards self-destruction? And when we find ourselves in critical crossroads situations, we have a decision to make too. We have to decide if we're going to walk down the path toward God or if we're going to walk down some other path. And we must recognize that the choices that we make when we find ourselves at the crossroads will have consequences that we have to bear. As actress Helen Mirren has said, you write your life story by the choices that you make. So here we are. Some of us have arrived here today standing at personal crossroads. As a church family, we're collectively standing together at a crossroads. Our community and our nation are standing at a crossroads. Which way do we go? Which way do we go as individuals if we want to arrive at our desired destination? Which way do we go if we want to have healthy, integrated, and balanced personal lives and family lives, careers, churches, and communities? Which way do we go collectively if we want to arrive at our desired destination? Which way do we go if we want to engage hurting, imperfect people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Which way do we go if we want to more effectively engage a changing community and culture with the timeless message of God? So that's exactly what we want to consider together. Today we're going to look at Jeremiah's framework for answering the crossroads question. And then throughout the fall, we're going to look at key people and points of time in the history of Israel to learn about how we should walk down the path that's in front of us if we want to travel well towards our desired destination. So let's jump in. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So first, what we need to recognize is the source of the framework. Jeremiah begins, this is what the Lord says. It's not a good framework just because Jeremiah said it was. It's not a good framework just because I'm up here saying it is. It's a good framework because this is what the Lord says. And that's the test that we need to use for any advice we seek or any advice that we're given when we find ourselves standing at the crossroads. Does the advice we are being given align with what the Lord says? It doesn't matter if the advice is coming from our parents, our teachers, our pastors, our friends, our bosses, or our neighbors. If it doesn't align with what the Lord says, it's not good advice. It doesn't matter if the advice is coming from our favorite news pundits, authors, bloggers, actors, or politicians. If it doesn't align with what the Lord says, it's not good advice. So what does the Lord say we should do when we find ourselves standing at the crossroads? Four simple steps. Stand, look, ask, and walk. They're simple steps, but it will take diligence and focus if we're going to follow them. And the order of the steps is important, so let's take them in order. If we want to make good decisions when we find ourselves standing at the crossroads, the first thing we need to do is stop and actually stand. Because we live in the midst of a culture that is obsessed with speed and what's coming next. We fill our schedules to overflowing, and we have this propensity to just run headlong through life. And the faster we're going, the greater the impact of what can seem like a small, inconsequential decision. And the faster we're going, the quicker really bad things can happen. Just think about driving a car. When the car is standing still, if you want to turn it, you really have to turn the steering wheel hard. But what about when you're going 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 miles an hour? Now, I know none of you would drive that fast. So let me tell you what happens when you're driving at 100 miles an hour. At 100 miles an hour, it takes just the slightest nudge of the steering wheel, and all of a sudden you're three lanes over the highway. At 100 miles an hour, you don't have time to process very much information. At 100 miles an hour, the time you have to make a decision is really small. And at 100 miles an hour, if you lose focus even for an instant, something really bad is likely to happen. So when we find ourselves standing at the crossroads, we need to stop and stand still. We need to consider our options. We need to observe what's going on around us and prepare ourselves for the journey that's ahead of us. And most of us, we don't stand still very well. When we were filming the Crossroads promo video a couple weeks ago, the director wanted this certain shot, and to get it, they needed me to stand completely still for 5 minutes. No big deal, right? Go home and try it this afternoon. Standing completely still for 5 minutes is not so easy, right? It takes patience, it takes strength, and it takes focus. But as I stood there completely still for 5 minutes, it was amazing what I observed. I was standing at an intersection that I've driven through probably hundreds of times in my life. But now I had stopped and I was standing. And it was amazing the things I saw. It was amazing the number of things that I could observe and process and think about in just 5 minutes of standing still. When we find ourselves at the crossroads, if we want to make wise decisions, we need to stop and stand still. Glenn Jackson, the co-founder of Jackson Spalding, which is one of the most highly regarded communications and marketing firms on the East Coast, has this line that I just absolutely love. When they need to make a difficult decision in his organization, he says to his team, "Let's take it to the sleep committee and talk about it in the morning." Jackson says that one of the reasons we lose focus is because we don't sleep on things. We don't stop and think through things well enough. And when you don't stop and think through things well enough, you often make quick decisions that you will regret in the end. So step one is to stop and stand. And then step two is to look, to stand at the crossroads and look. When we find ourselves at the crossroads, we don't need to just consider the road that's ahead of us. But perhaps even more importantly, we need to look at where we've come from. We need to look at the roads that we've traveled down that have gotten us to this point. To have confidence in the future, we need to look back and remember God's faithfulness to us in the past. To make the best decisions possible about the future, we need to look back and learn from both our victories and our failures. As George Santayana is famously quoted as saying, "When experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." So if we want to make good decisions when we find ourselves at the crossroads, we need to be able to learn from the past without continuing to live in the past. We need to be able to make peace with the past. Because if we continue to carry our past grievances with us into the future, we'll never be able to move into the future healthy. This is why Christ commanded us to forgive 70 times 7 times. Because we need to make peace with the past if we want to move into the future that He's planned for us. If we want to make good decisions when we find ourselves standing at the crossroads, then we need to have a clear picture about what our desired destination really is. Because when we're focused on the future, we can make much better decisions about today. Because when we're too focused on today, we are much more likely to make decisions out of selfishness, out of comfort, out of fear, and out of pride. But when our eyes are focused on the future, the difficult choices that we face today become much, much easier. When we're looking far enough into the future, all of the limitations and all of the urgencies, all of the difficulties that we feel shackled by today begin to fade away. Today, time and money are limited. But in the future, resources can become available. Today, we see all of our deficiencies. But in the future, the skills that we don't have today can be developed. Today, we are overwhelmed by what feels urgent, and the decisions that we have to make can feel overwhelming and hard. But when we look into the future, most of the decisions that we have to make today become really obvious and clear. So when we find ourselves at the crossroads, step one is to stop and stand. Step two is to look. And then he says to ask for the ancient paths, ask for where the good way is. And the combination is important because old doesn't necessarily mean good, because there are plenty of old ways that have led to destruction. So what are the ancient paths and the good ways that Jeremiah is referring to? I'd like us to take a little trip through Bible history to find out. We're not going to exhaustively cover any of these passages. Instead, we're just going to make brief stopovers to see how this ancient path unfolds. Let's begin in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, this is actually the beginning of the ancient path. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." The first thing that we see is that the initiative begins with God. God called Abram out. God called Abram out of where he was. He called him out from a culture of idolatry, and he made him a promise. But the promise required acceptance, and the promise required a response from Abram. He would not have been blessed, and he would not have become a blessing if he had stayed in Haran. He would not have been blessed and have become a blessing if he didn't respond to God's call. And the second thing that we see is that God called Abram for purpose. God called Abram out of his culture so that he could turn him into a blessing for his culture. And in the thousands of years that have passed since God called Abram, the call has not changed. As Abraham's children, as the fulfillment of the covenant that God made with Abram, we have been called too. We have been called out of our culture so that God can turn us into a blessing for our culture. And our next step along the ancient paths is in Exodus 19. This is the establishment of the path for a new nation. "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites.'" And then we fast forward about 40 years to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And this is the reminder of the path to a new generation that's about to enter the promised land. And Moses writes, "See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' What other nation is so real as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." If we want to follow the ancient path and the good way, if we want to be blessed and become a blessing, then we need to obey God. We need to follow his decrees, laws, and commands. And we need to remind ourselves of them so that they don't fade away in our minds. We need to teach them to our children and to their children after them. Our world offers a lot of new paths that we can follow. But the Bible tells us to stick to the old ones. The Bible tells us to stick to the paths and the frameworks that have been outlined for us by our Creator, because his paths are the good paths. They are morally good, and they are beneficial. They are beneficial for us, and they are beneficial for others, because they are designed so that we can be a blessing to others if we follow them. It's the path that will lead us to the correct destination. It's the pathway that causes things to work together for our good in our lives, and it's the pathway that will lead us to become a blessing to the culture and the community that surrounds us. But it's not a popular path. It never has been. It isn't politically correct, but it is morally sound. It isn't popular, but it is beneficial. And while we can't force our views on society, nor should we try and force our views on society, we can point society towards a better way. Our culture regards the Bible and the ancient paths as having little relevance to modern life, because it doesn't match their philosophy of life. But it's not that the Bible and the gospel are irrelevant. It's that the world would rather continue on in their own way. This is what King Solomon was saying when he said, "There is a way that seems right to people, but its end is the way of death." The right question is not, is the Bible relevant to our lives? The right question is if our lives conform to the Bible. The question is, what path are we walking down? Are we walking down the good way? Are we walking down a way that will lead us to destruction? This is what Jesus was talking about when he said in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So when we find ourselves at the crossroads, if we want to be a blessing, we must be deliberate. We must stop and stand. We must look. We must ask. And then we must walk. Right? Jeremiah says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it." Because it's not enough to intellectually understand something. It's not enough to gain knowledge if we don't apply that knowledge to our lives. We must walk forward. We can't just stay at the crossroads. We must resolve to act We can't just see the good way before us and recognize that it's good, because we will never experience the goodness if we don't walk down the path. And if we do walk, then Jeremiah says we will find rest for our souls. Rest for our souls, but not necessarily rest for our bodies. Because we have been called for purpose. Just like God called Abram out of his culture to be a blessing, Christ is calling us out of our culture to be a blessing. He is calling us to himself so that we can be a blessing to others. And let's face it, this entire thing is impossible if we don't have Christ. In Matthew 11, Christ says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's calling us. He's calling us to himself with purpose. The question is, will we respond to the call of Christ? I pray that we will. I pray that we will deliberately stop and stand, look and ask, and then walk forward. I pray that we will do this individually and that we will do this collectively, because we have been called. We've been called by God out of our culture so that we can be a blessing for our culture. I pray that when we find ourselves at the crossroads, we will stop and stand. We will look. We will ask, and then we will walk. Because verse 16 doesn't actually end with rest. There's a tragic addendum to the verse. This is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, "We will not walk in it." I appointed watchmen over you and said, "Listen to the sound of the trumpet." But you said, "We will not listen." Therefore, hear, you nations, you who are witnesses, observe what will happen to them. Hear, you earth, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and they have rejected my law. Israel would not walk in the ancient paths. Despite God's repeated attempts to warn them, they would not respond to his call. God was patient. God was loving. God was gracious. But eventually, God did judge. God judged Israel, and God will ultimately judge us as well. Because one way or another, God's people were going to be an example for the nations that surrounded them. God's desire was for them to be an example of his blessing. But because they would not choose to walk down his path, they became an example of his judgment. If you're at a crossroads today, I beg you, stop and stand, look and ask, and then walk. Why? Because I can't tell you the depth of the heartbreak when you watch people and families and organizations who are standing at a crossroads and they choose to follow the modern paths instead of the ancient paths. Can't tell you the heartbreak when you watch people choose to follow the path of self instead of following the path of God. When you watch people choose the path of self-promotion, the path of self-satisfaction, the path of self-righteousness, or the path of self-pity. When you watch people choose the path of self, which ultimately leads to self-destruction, instead of the path of God, which will lead us to rest. It's heartbreaking to watch because it can be prevented. It's heartbreaking because there is another path, but we have to choose to walk down that path. There is freedom, blessing, and rest that can be found on the ancient paths and the good ways. But to receive the blessing and to become a blessing, we must be deliberate when we find ourselves at the crossroads. We must stop and we must look. We must ask. And then we must choose which way we will walk forward. Which part of the framework do you need to work on this week? Are you going too fast in life? Approaching the crossroads at 100 miles an hour? Then stop and stand. Are you standing at the crossroads already, wondering which way you should go? Then look and ask. Or do you know which way you should go, but you just haven't taken that next step? Then resolve yourself to walk, because every journey begins with the first step. And then come back next week and bring a friend with you as we begin our journey to discover how we should walk down the paths towards our desired destination. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have shown us the way. I thank you that you are gracious and patient with us, that you give us opportunity after opportunity, but we do not take that for granted. So I pray that we would respond to your call today, Father, that we would respond, that we would stop, look, ask, and then walk forward in the path that you've called us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.